Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. Back once again. It's another glorious week of life. We're live. If you're watching this, if you're hearing this, if you're in the Chatsworth, you are live. We already up. Already up. You winning. Soon as you realize you're still alive and you're cognizant of everything that's going on and you can say stuff and do stuff and feel stuff, we blessed right out the gate, man. Right out the gate. I didn't go live on IG today because I know my patron saints are happy about this. They're like, yeah, finally putting us first. First of all, y'all are always first. I just want to put that out there. Secondly, it's a marketing tool. Y'all got to let me market, man. I got to grow the Patreon. I got to grow it, man, and it's working. But since Instagram want to be tight asses and flag me and penalize me for something that I didn't do wrong, I just made a joke. Somebody said I look good in the suit, and I was like, I'll beat your ass. Hush. They were like, community guidelines. You can't go live until July 16th. I'm like, y'all look trash, bro. Y'all trash. Now I can't go live. Now I can't get the new members this week because Instagram want to be tight assery with their community guidelines. Sick of it. But never think for one molecule of a second, patron saints, that y'all are coming in second to the IG Live people. You're not. It's just marketing. It's just I have to promote. I got to build. And it's an effective way to build. It's been working. And y'all be like, yeah, it is working. But then on the other hand, y'all be like, but nah, don't do it. Y'all need to make firm decisions here. Either y'all going to be about it or y'all just going to be like, nah, don't grow it. And just I'm going to keep the patron sainthood small. Because a lot of y'all be saying you understand, but then at the same time, you don't. So which one is it? I need firm decisions. I need you to be like, no, I want to keep the Patreon small. Then say that. I don't agree. I don't want that. I want a big patron saint base. But don't be saying you get it and then you don't. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? I wanted to open with this, man. What excuses are you holding on to right now? What excuses in your life are you standing firm on? What excuses in your life is causing you conflict with your loved ones because you want to stand so firmly in your excuses that you are willing to cut people off just to hold the booty cheeks of your excuses? What excuses you riding tooth and nail for that you standing 10 toes in? That you dying on Excuse Hill right now. Which one is it? Because I know we got them. We be making them. We got excuses for everything. Excuses just falling out the cabinets, coming out of nowhere, coming out the woodwork. Excuses, excuses, excuses. I know y'all got them. What's your biggest excuse and which one you holding on to the most? We be making excuses on why we can't make, you know, changes in our lives, why we can't get more work done, why we can't work out more, why we can't, you know, change the way we eat, why we can't, you know, meet people or communicate with people, there's always an excuse in the mix. Oh, you making excuses on why you can't go for a certain, you know, career path that you might want to go on or whatever. Or if somebody's interested in you, but you like, you got excuses on why you can't pursue that. What are your excuses? You know what I'm saying? What's your biggest one? What's your mainstay? What's your go-to? Which one is the biggest one? I want to know. I want to know. And everybody be like, man, excuses, man, you know, don't make them. But we be making them. I be making excuses. I used to make excuses all the time. I used to make excuses on why I couldn't go vegetarian. I be making excuses now why I can't be more social. You know, it's just, I just need the time and, you know, I just got to reflect. You know, I'll be in the house, you know what I'm saying? It'd be too far, I'll be tucked in. I'll be, you know, they're excuses at the end of the day. But I want to know. I want to know what some of your long-lasting excuses are. Tell me right here, right now, patron sainthood. You want to be first? Now I'm asking you first. Like, what are you making excuses for right here, right now? My excuse is, but this is from L. Adams, my excuse, I have to care for the family elder. Are you lying, or is that the real excuse? Do you use the family elder to get out of stuff? I don't know. That really don't feel like an excuse, though. Like, if you're taking care of somebody else, I mean, that's, you put things on the back burner. But I don't know. Like, I mean, that's honorable. Like, you know, if you have responsibilities that you're tending to, I don't really see that as an excuse. It feels like that's your priority. There's a difference between priority and excuses. Like, taking care of someone, another person, another living person, that's a quality reason not to be able to do certain things because you're prioritizing that, and that's honorable. What I mean, like, excuses, like, you know, that are really holding you back. Veronica House says, I feel I'm too old to change to pursue being a doctor. How old are you? I mean, if your mind is still sharp, you can still get around, you can still do things, you can still get it done. You're 50. How long does it take to become a doctor? Yeah, L. Adams, hush, man. Get your ass up out of here with that. I don't know how long it takes to become a doctor. I don't know what that timetable looks like. Okay, so if you start from scratch, you're going to be 62 and then you'll be a doctor. But my question is this, in that 12 years, how will you feel? 12 years down the line, like during that 12 year process, how will it make you feel? Will you feel like, man, you know what I'm saying? This is great. I'm getting after it. I'm pursuing something I really want to do. It's going to be fantastic. How will you feel in that 12 years? You'll feel great, so why not pursue it? You're going to feel great in that 12 years. Then on the other side of that 12 years, accomplishment. You did it. Now you can put that to practice. Even though you're 62, so what? So what? I don't be looking at my doctors and be like, man, you too old. I don't look at my doctors and you know, age them. I'll be like, man, you're old ass. Man, what you know about blood work? You owe. Now the money part, that's real spill. The money part, that's going to be expensive. And I'm sure your student loans and your, you know, education bills is going to be ridiculous. So that's a different ballpark. The money is different. The money is different. Will you ever post more content on Patreon? What you mean by content? Oh, Nikki Smith. Oh, what are we talking about? If you just walked in here, we're talking about what excuses are you holding on to right now in your life? What are your go-to excuses? What are the excuses you can't let go of? What are the excuses that have you stuck in place, that have you paralyzed, that have you not really accomplishing what you want to accomplish? Know what I'm talking about? You feel me? Nikki Smith said, I use the excuse of having an Achilles surgery for not working out. I'm 6 months post-op. It's a reason to be careful, but not an excuse to not exercise at all. Nikki Smith, you are absolutely right. These are the excuses I'm talking about. Now, I know you got to take it easy because, you know, the Achilles surgery is serious business, but there's always things you can work out that you can exercise, and that is an excuse. So now that you acknowledge it, you see it, you know it's an excuse, you know you can still be doing things regardless, now it's all about making the change. Now it's all about, all right, let me quit bullshitting. Let me get this workout in as best I can. Let me put this excuse in the recycle bin. Let me throw it in the trash can, and let's get to work. Get your ass up. Get active. Do the exercises you can do. I'm sure there's something on YouTube about working out post-op with a messed up Achilles. You recovering. I'm sure there's maximum information on the workouts that you can do, that you should do. And then, boom, we in this thing. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? Let's put that excuse to the side. New York Calm says, I have no excuse for never finishing my movie script. Get on it. Get on it. Finish that script. I want to say your name correctly, but it's tricky. Dionysia. I don't know if it's Dionysia or Dionysia. I don't know which one it is. I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but it's a name to behold. You gotta get your feet together when you see a name like this. I don't know if it's Dionysia. My excuse is I'm too busy, but I really need to say no more so I can focus on what is important. Okay. No, it's Dionysia. Okay. So your excuse is that you're too busy? My cousin Armand, Pastor Fury Armand, he needs to finish his documentary, realizing how many excuses I'm sitting on. Yikes. Hey, man, them excuses will tear your ass loose and keep you paralyzed. They will keep you paralyzed, man. I'm telling you what's happening. Because when you really sit down and ask people what they want in life, what they want to achieve, what their goals are, whatever it is, and you really talk to people about how that's going, how are you working towards that? How are you, you know, going to achieve that? How has the progress been going on that? The excuses are going to come out. You're going to hear an excuse somewhere in there as far as what's slowing them down or what's keeping them stagnant. Guaranteed. Unless people are really getting after it. You got some people that are really getting after it. Like they really like laser focused and they like, yo, I want to do this. But then if you ask people that are close to them, like their family, their spouse or whatever, they'll be like, you know, me and my husband don't spend a lot of time together because he's so focused on career. Now, on his end, he's looking at it like, yo, I'm really trying to achieve these certain things in my career. But at the same time, I'm neglecting, you know, my wife or my spouse or whatever. So from the spouse POV, it's like, oh, career is his excuse. But from his POV, it's like, nah, I really want to achieve. This is the priority for me. Me achieving this in career is the priority. So that's a little bit different than the excuse. Because still trying to get after it, but at the same time, I'm prioritizing this over spending the quality time. And I'm not saying something is right or wrong here. I'm just saying that could be the reason. And it could be two different viewpoints on the same thing. Michaela Harrison said, my excuses are my learning disorders that stop me from starting a business. But I'm sure you're still trying, though. And learning disorders are tough. Terrence Cox, man. I think I listened to the song. It just didn't stick. I did listen to it. I heard it. I heard the song. God damn, Terrence. I heard the song, man. I played it. This is like the fifth time. You're like, man, did you listen to the? Yes, I listened to it. I just don't remember it. Claude, have mercy. He's been on me, man. Did you listen to the song? Yes. Jeez. Anyway, this week, I want y'all to really look at your excuses. I want you to look your excuses dead in the face. Eye contact, nipple to nipple. And I want you to start chipping away at those excuses, whatever it may be. I want you to chip away at your excuses and get stuff done. This is what I want y'all to, this is the challenge for the week. And then let that bleed off in the next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. I want to see. I want to know. I'm curious. Like me, I've been making an effort to be more social. I've been making an effort to, you know, go out more and, you know, hang out. And I've been doing that. I hung out Saturday. I did a double whammy on the social on Saturday. I hung out, and then I went to like a function. So I did two things on Saturday. I was like, all right, I'm out here, so I'm working on it. I'm working on that. So, you know, because look, man, I know I'd be making excuses like, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, rest and, you know, I don't wanna overload my plate and stuff like that. But at the same time, some of it is excusey. You know, because once I'm in a social setting, I'm a good time. I'm locked in. I'm engaging. You know, I'm a good time when I go out. Like when I'm outside, you know, it's just a good time. Y'all saw me in Cabo. You know, it's me actually being in the moment of the social activity is not the issue. It's just me planning it and executing it, going to it, and not overthinking it or dreading it or whatever the hell else is going on in my brain. Like, I made plans. And now in my mind, I'm thinking about the plans the whole week. I'm like, oh, the plans I made, the plans. Now I'm stressed about the plans. Now I'm like, I said I was going to hang out Friday. Friday is coming. I'm stressing about it on Monday. I'm like, oh, Friday is creeping up. Tuesday, I'm like, oh, I'm one step closer to Friday. Like, it's not even that big of a deal. It's not even a dread. But in my mind, I'm dreading it. And it's not like I'm going to court, I'm going to the DMV, I'm going to a class I hate, I'm going to do a job that I hate. It's something fun. And then, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, I have to do something that I said I was gonna do on Friday is coming. And so I'm trying to lose this mindset of, you know, dread about fun stuff. This is fun stuff, y'all. Even work and like doing podcasts and shows and whatever. This is good. This is fun stuff. Me doing a podcast, me doing comedy shows, me, you know, traveling for comedy, whatever the hell it is, me shooting a sketch or whatever. It's fun stuff. This was the dream. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's approaching. Here it comes. It's Wednesday. Only got one day in between Friday. Friday looking over Thursday's shoulder at me. It's coming. And all it is me hanging out on Friday. So it's like, yeah, what kind of mind state am I in? Where am I? Mentally and you know, where am I now? So I'm working on it. I'm working on that. Now I need to work on another thing I need to work on. I need to not get on my phone, not get on social media when I wake up in the morning. First thing I do, grab my phone. I'm scrolling, looking at stuff, saving videos to do voiceover or commentary on later, just looking at stuff, double tapping, scrolling, watching, double tapping, looking. And that might keep me in the bed another hour or hour and a half. I'm just in the bed. Instead of either going back to sleep and getting more sleep or getting up and getting after it. So I need to not grab my phone when I wake up. If the alarm clock go off, hit the button, put the phone back down. Check important emails. Okay, boom. Don't get on social media. That's a goal for me in the coming days, just so I can get up and get after it quicker. Because if I'm not on my phone scrolling, what the hell? What am I doing in the bed? And if it is a day where I want to rest, just watch a movie. I got the movies queued up, my laptop be in my bed, you know. And I also want to get better at relaxing. I want to get better at just relaxing. And what I mean by that is I always put something on my plate to do. I always put something on my plate. When I wake up in the morning, I got to work out. I got to walk the 5 miles. I got to go to the gym. If I wake up and it's too late and it's already 97 degrees where I live, I'm like, it's too hot to walk. I just got to go to the gym. But I'm scrolling. I'm in the bed. I got to go to the gym. I got to work out. I got to get up and get after it. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do a watch party. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do some voiceover. I got to do some content. It's always something in my brain. I'm like, I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to get it done. And so there's a guilt associated with me resting. It's like the other day, I think I rested, but I didn't fully rest because I felt guilty about the resting. And then it took several hours for me to just sit there and be like, it took me forever to just be like, you know what? I'm gonna rest today. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it just took me forever. So, Dionysia said, being busy is a trauma response, Tony. Okay. Okay. The trauma you're referring to is Serene, right? Your therapist taught you that. Okay. Tony, have you ever been checked or thought about the possibility that you have ADHD? I thought about it. I feel like everybody says they have it now. So with everybody saying they have it, I'd just be like, everybody got it, huh? Of course, losing your son, but other things too. Okay. Like generational trauma. But I feel like I didn't always have this, though. It's avoidance. Staying busy can be a coping mechanism. I feel so seen now. ADHD is my excuse for being an idiot. Yeah, some people don't like sitting with their thoughts. Now here's the thing about that, though. I really feel like I sit with my thoughts a lot. That's why I like walking so much, because walking really allows me the space to really think and sit in those thoughts. Even though I'm moving, even though I'm, you know, I'm not sitting still, but I'm not doing anything but walking. And when I walk, you know, I just tend to just, I feel like I'm alone with my thoughts, even though, yeah, I'm walking 5 miles, I'm walking through a community or whatever. It's not the same as driving somewhere. It's not the same as, you know, just sitting and reflecting. I'm actually walking and I'm thinking about everything. I'm thinking about everything, the good and the bad. I'm thinking about when I walk. So those moments are, yeah, I'm getting exercise in, but at the same time, walking is so easy that you can really just kind of settle your mind down a little bit and kind of just tap into the thoughts, no matter what they may be. You know what I mean? So that's one of the benefits of walking and why I do it. But let's pay these bills, though. When we walking, we thinking about finances sometimes. You know, we be thinking about our money. Is our money right? Do we need it? Do we have it? If anything should pop up and show niggas, do we have stuff that, you know, do we have enough to cover it? Now, life doesn't happen bi-weekly. So why should payday? You know what I'm saying? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earning. Earning is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. I wish when I was at InMersh or when I was at Dairy Queen, I wish I had Earning. Because that 2 weeks waiting for your next paycheck be the longest 2 weeks of your life. Y'all know how time be flying now? Time just be flying. Time be out of here. But when you waiting on that payday, time slows down. It's like somebody got the time gem on the Avengers and they just like, nah, man, slow the beat down. You be waiting on that check and it never arrives. And then when it finally does, like, oh, finally. But then, you know what I'm saying, you got to pay all these bills. But sometimes you need something in the meantime. Earning is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. Just download the Earning app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Y'all know I'm about that tip life, man. Tip drill. Tip Bayless, man. Tippy Longstocking. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You know, it could be a special night out, last minute gift for a loved one, unexpected trip to the vet, upcoming rent, new dress, school clothes, shoes, a suit for combo, you know, car trouble. Car troubles is the one. That's the one. That'd be that one. That'd be that unexpected car trouble will have you on the fence. Like, oh man, I'm on the ropes, y'all. My radiator popped loose. Funeral expenses. You know, you never know. Make Earning a part of your financial routine and join Earning's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, yo, when I think about Earning, I think about financial stability, security. Man, listen, it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So download Earning today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in verbal cardio under podcast. When you sign up, it will really help the show. Type in verbal cardio under podcast. Type these in, man. Use these so they know that, you know, we contributing, all right? Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earning.com/TOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC, man. Earning, man, get in on that. I'm jealous. Because Earning wasn't here when I needed it. Now Earning is here now. Growing up in this day and age, you got it made. You got it made, man. The stuff you have access to now. When I was coming up in the 90s, trying to make ends meet, early 2000s, now you got all these benefits and you know what I'm saying? It's a good time to be out here. I mean, you know, there's some raggediness and some struggles here and there, of course. But the access you have to so many different things now is crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. So growing up now, man, it's a different ball game. It is a different ball game. I've been watching the show The Bear, right? And if you haven't seen the show The Bear, it's about, you know, pretty much a guy who's a cook. He inherits, you know, a restaurant, you know, food place, if you will. Then he wants to upgrade it, right? He wants to be fancy. He wants to get that star upgrade. So watching the show, I'm looking at these super fancy meals and these super fancy restaurants and all of this going on, right? And when you go to a super expensive restaurant, their food looks a certain way. The way they plate it, the way it looks, it'd be like a thin strip of meat the size of my finger, my index finger. This is the meat. And they'll have that on the plate with a garnish and a little drizzle along the bottom of the plate. And the little piece of meat is laying on top of that. Then there's a garnish. Then there's a thicker sauce either on that piece of meat or right to the side of it. And then boom, that's your meal. I need more. If we gonna be paying top dollar, I need more than this. Whenever I see these expensive plates and these platters and these chef creations, and I respect it, don't get me wrong, I respect what's going into it. Like, they're going to get the natural ingredients. These chefs are willing to die for the cause. They do this. No disrespect to them, but for me, I need more. If I'm going to be paying ridiculous prices, I need for that plate to fill out a little bit. I need several of those different, you know, visual displays. I need several of those on one plate to feel like I got my money's worth. You understand me? Like, when I was watching the show and I was looking at the plates, I'm just like, man, what else? What else? This is it. This is it. Now, mind you, I will admit, and I own this, I have an issue with portions. I am out of control when it comes to portions. That's not my strong suit. I overeat. I know this about myself. I overeat. So, you know, those plates that you see at these fancy restaurants, they aren't ridiculous. We are just ridiculously trained to, we need a full plate. We need a big ass platter. We're trained this way. We grew up this way with big ass plates. The plates are big. And we want the majority of that plate to be filled with food real estate. This is how we came up. This is how we were brought up, the majority of us. I mean, there's some of you in here that, you know, your parents instilled in you small portions, portion control. But for me, how we came up, load that plate up. And I've always been this way. I've always been like, load that plate up. And then, you know, my parents, you know, really instilled in us, finish your food, especially my dad, finish your food. Don't leave nothing on that plate. If you put it on there, finish it. We're not wasting the food. So I also have the mentality of, I'm not going to leave no food behind. I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to respect this food and devour it. If not, why did I put it on my plate just to throw it away? You're wasting food. I was like, all right, which I respect. I respect that angle because there's a lot of hungry people out here. So I hate to see wasted food, but at the same time, I'll be overdoing it. Now, when I first became mindful of calorie counting, fat, sugars, when I went in 2003, get my blood work done to make a lifestyle change as far as how I looked at food, the food I was eating, all of that, right? That's when they were like, they drew a circle on the little packet that I got on how to eat and how to move. They were like, your plate, you should eat on a saucer. And I was like, eating on a saucer? Yeah. Eat your meals on small plates. And I was like, how dare you? Who are you? Eating my dinner on a saucer? Who are you? Get out of my face. Don't come by my house. Don't call me. We're done. But it made sense. Like when I did that, when I implemented that, when I was eating on a saucer, now the saucer is full, but it's still way less real estate and food and calories than I would have been eating on that big plate, because I would have filled the big plate up with stuff, so I would have had more to eat. So now in the saucer, it's smaller portions, but they look big as hell because the saucer is full. So now I'm just like, so now I'm eating less. It's a mental game. It's mental trickery. And your body's like, this is a good amount of calories right here, Tone. I'm like, man, I'm full. I finished that whole plate. So I noticed a change on my mental when I was doing it. Now, granted, I went back to the big plate. And I'm still big plate, big bowl McGee. But I did notice that change. When I started eating on smaller plates, it was like, oh, okay. Okay. A big part of it is mental. That I was learning that. But these fancy meals served up on the Bear. Mind you, you know, the show is Anxiety City. It's Anxiety City, man. You know, the way they be arguing, everything is stress, everything is intense. It's big anxiety. But when I be looking at the food, my anxiety lessens because I love to look at food. And so I was just like, man, these little plates. But I still want to go, and I want to document this. And, you know, I want to go to a super expensive restaurant and just have a meal there. And just to see, for one, how it tastes. The presentation. Am I full and satisfied? And do I feel like I got my money's worth in this mug? I want to do that. I'm going to do that sometime this year. I just got to pick a restaurant that I want to do it at. Preferably, I'm going to just go to like a higher end, you know, vegan establishment, just because I got way more options. And I ain't got to be sitting there all like, because, you know, the fancy restaurants, they're not really going to put up with your, Can I not have this on it? Can you hold that? They're not doing that. When you go to a super expensive restaurant, they're going to be like, this is what it is. If you don't like what it is, if you feel like you need to remix this shit that we put our blood, sweat, and tears in, you can get the fuck out. You can go to Denny's and do your little remixes. You can go to Chipotle and build your own bowl. But right here in this establishment, ain't no substitutes. We change our menu daily. We not here for the substitutions. If you're about that substitution life, if you super picky, this is not the place for you. We got people, you know, with reservation months out. You can get the fuck out. So I know that going in. So I know not to go to a super fancy restaurant and come in and be like, can you not have milk and eggs in this? Get the fuck up out of here. Get your ass out of here. Go to a vegan restaurant and hush, which I totally respect. I'm not going to go in there and try to, you know, remix the high-level cuisine that's going on. I gotta respect the craft. So, but one day, I'm going to do it. Tabitha Brown had a spot in L.A. I went to that. I don't know if it's still there or not, though. I don't know. But yeah, but I'm going to do it though. And I'm going to see, was it worth it? I'm going to see how I feel after. Will I feel like, man, that was too much money for that? Or will I feel like I get it now? I need to have that experience. That's one of the goals for this year. Let's see what's going on. I'm not going to do it this episode, but I wanted to implement something for future verbal cardio episodes. I want to take a past year, and do like a deep dive in it as far as entertainment, as far as like movies and music. I want to go year by year and just do a little deep dive, like 1990. 1990, I want to talk about the movies that was coming out, the music that was coming out, what I was doing in 1990, you know, hone in on certain things, maybe a particular movie. Like, for instance, I'd be like, all right, Goodfellas, Home Alone, Ghost, Total Recall, Die Hard 2, whatever. Talk about those, talk about, you know, what it felt like to see those movies, blah, 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 blah. Whatever albums came out in 1990, Bell Biv DeVoe, Poison album, Lisa Stansfield album, Affection, you know, stuff like that. And I just want to have those segments on just, you know, particular years. I can go in the 80s, I can go in the 90s, the 2000s, whatever, you know. And we all different ages in here. Some of us are younger, some of us are older. It doesn't matter. So, you know, some years will resonate with y'all and some might not because yeah, I was too little then. I wasn't even born then. Shut up. Shut your asses up. But I want to start doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, focus on the particular year. So the next verbal cardio, I might do 1990. You know, I might do 1988. I might do 95, 99, 2001, whatever the case may be. So I want to start implementing that in verbal cardio. Now, one of the excuses that I make, we're back on excuses now. Y'all know how I focus on the negativity, right? When I did some anonymous, you know, so I did an anonymous questionnaire. What are two things you would change about me? And people can respond anonymously, right? And a lot of y'all was like, why do you highlight and put so much energy into negative comments and negative posts? And, you know, my reasoning, my excuses was it just sticks out. It sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, we as performers, we can't unsee it. Now, I get a lot of love. I get a lot of compliments. I get a lot of props. I get a lot of that. And so it's dope. I see it. I feel it. It's there. It's plentiful. But the few negative people, it sticks out, man. Like, you know, like I equated to the comedy show. Like when we do a comedy, me and Kev both will tell you this to our dying days. The show we did in Sacramento. Crowd is just eating it up. We having a good ass time. We surrounded by the crowd. Energy's crazy. But it was one lady in the front that gave us nothing. She gave all of us nothing. The one lady, good looking woman too, prime in the front, prime real estate. She gave us nothing. We were looking, you know, everybody else laughing, but we could not shake this one lady that wasn't laughing. After the show, man, that lady. Kev gets off stage, that lady. Everybody else was laughing, setting themselves on fire, jumping out the window, dying, all that. Face down, cardiac arrest, just laughing hard, fake teeth flying out, people spitting drinks out, having a good ass time. The one lady, one. I don't remember another face in there doing this. She stood out. We couldn't shake this lady. Same thing in these comments section, man. Somebody say some bullshit and it sticks out. I just be like, you. You can ask probably any performer. You can ask any comedian. You can ask whatever. You like that one person. I'll be like, man. And I remember too, like, y'all remember when I went to the SZA concert last year? Was that last year? Last year. So I met her after the show and I was talking to her about the show. I was like, man, this show was crazy, man. They were loving it. And she was like, man, it was this one individual in the front. And I was like, y'all be seeing it. Even musicians see this. I was just like, yo, you had a stadium full of people. She had that stadium where the Celtics play packed, thousands of people. Now we doing comedy shows. It was hundreds of what I was talking about. She's doing thousands, but she still saw one or two individuals. Just like she was on her phone the whole time, and I'm just like, even musicians of that caliber are still just like that one person. And it's just, so now it's just like, it's not just me, it's not just Kev, it's just like any performer that's performing at a high level. I bet you if I talk to Taylor Swift, and I'll be like, yo, the tour's been going crazy. Taylor Swift probably be like, man, I remember this show I did in Nashville. There was this one lady in the corner. I couldn't shave, like, but it was 20,000 people in that arena. Yeah, but she just gave me nothing. I was just like, wow. So it's hard to ignore. It's hard, man. No matter what level they're on, it's just like, nah, man. The one individual, and I'll just be like, wow. Beyonce saw it? See? That's what I'm saying. Like, and these are gargantuan stars at one person. So I posted, so I said, all right, you know what? I'm gonna ignore the negativity. But the negativity is good content. I hate to admit it, and I hate to feed the trolls, but it makes for a good, compelling content, unfortunately. When I talk about, look at what they said, people chime in. They got something to say on it. You know what I'm saying? They respond. Like if somebody said, Tony Baker is my favorite comedian, if I posted that, people were like, yeah, oh, man, that's great. It wouldn't get the same traction. But if I post it, man, look at what this dude said about me, man. People gonna chime in. They gonna come in. Oh, hell no, this is that and the third. It's gonna create conversations, it's gonna create responses, it's gonna create more traction than the other posts. Like, Tony, you really made my day better with the post you did. And I post that, people gonna be like, that's good, man. Anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's dumb. It's wild. But the human behavior, it's like, nah, we going to respond and react to the negativity. And it sucks. But this is what it is. So I posted so this person said in the anonymous. And I posted it because it's kind of interesting at the same time. So I said, if you could change anything about me, what would it be? And this person said, I've decided that you have a preference for light-skinned and or racially ambiguous women, and that is whack. Your preference, not my opinion. So they decided that my preference is light-skinned and or racially ambiguous. And so, you know, I responded. I was just like, because I was responding to the good and the bad on the anonymous tip. I was like, actually, like an assortment of women, I don't discriminate on the skin tones. Your decision is wrong. So I posted that. And it just opens up interesting conversation about skin tones, about race, about racial identity, about preferences and stuff like that. So this person decided that, oh, Tony's just like light skin. Racially ambiguous women. And so I was just like, well, publicly, from a public standpoint, y'all only know of two women I've been with for sure. That's my ex-wife, Cherie, and Sabrina. Now, you know, you've heard stories about, you know, girls back in high school or like, you know, exes or whatever, but y'all have only seen two. Everybody else that you've seen on my page, you speculate. You like, oh. Or you've heard me talk about certain celebrities or actresses or whatever, and I'll be like, yeah. So I assume they're going on, you know, his ex, you know, his exes and all of that. And so for me, I'm just like, yo, this is mad interesting because I keep a lot of, you know, a lot of the women I've dealt with and deal with tucked away in terms of like putting them on my page or showing them to the masses or just being open about, you know, who I'm dating or whatever. And so you really only got two people to go on, my ex-wife and Sabrina. So y'all don't know about anybody else that I've dealt with in that capacity. So that person's probably just looking at that and looking at like, well, he like other light-skinned celebrities. So I'm deciding this. And I'm just like, interesting. Mad interesting. So, you know, I'm not out here to prove like, hey, I like dark-skinned women. Look at me and this one dark-skinned woman. Or look at who I complimented that's of a darker hue. Why, I'm not about to defend myself to this person. But I just found it interesting. Like, if you, like, because I struggle with knowing what my type actually is. Like, you know, when people ask me, what's your type? I'll be like, I don't know what my type is. And people assume, you like big titties, though. You like big titties. And then I'll be like, I do. But that's not something I need. That's not something like, yo, you got to have them big titties. That's not how I roll. I like them, sure. If you stack, I'm like, oh. Yes, I do like that. But I also, you know, the smaller up top is fine, too. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, shoot, my ex-wife was small up top historically. So, you know, that's not a deal breaker. You know what I'm saying? That's not the main, like, yeah, I need titties first. But I really don't know what my type is. Like, if you look at all the women that I've dealt with, I wonder what the common denominator would be. And Veronica Howe said, Tony, even if you prefer either or, so what? And that's another thing. We all have our preferences. We all have our preferences in terms of what we like in a mate, what we're attracted to, what we're drawn to. We all have our preferences. Every single one of us, we have a preference. And your preference is whatever you're attracted to is what you're attracted to. It's really out of your control. You like what you like. You're drawn to what you're drawn to. It's not, sometimes you're just like, man, I'm feeling this. Sometimes you're attracted to stuff you don't even want to be attracted to, but you can't help it. You like, I don't like this, but I like this. And so everybody has their thing. Everybody. And my thing just happens to be a pretty face. Good skin, titties or not, booty or not, nice legs, nice toes. I'm a visual person. Like, you know what I'm saying? I will own that. I like beauty. I like beautiful things. I like to see, you know, whether it's beauty in nature, whether it's a mountain range, trees, rock formations, beautiful animals, beautiful insects. I am drawn to beautiful things, beautiful works of art. Like, I'm just like, man, that is the aesthetics. I'm very visual. I'm very like, this looks amazing. The food, even when I look at food, I'm like, that food looks good. Like, you know, I am a very visual person. And that goes into women as well. It's like, you know, beautiful women. I'm just like, man, you looking. That doesn't mean I necessarily want a relationship or that I want to automatically smash. I could think like, yeah, I would. But finding somebody attractive to where I'm like, I would smash, and actually going through with it and putting in the effort to do it are two different things. There are several beautiful women out here. There are several women out here that I find attractive. that I'm just like, damn, you look good, but will I put in the work? Will I put in any type of effort? Will I be consistent? Will I come out of the house on a consistent basis for you? Probably not. But when I see it, I'll be like, yo, you look amazing. And then I dip off into the shadows. That's pretty much the core of who I am. Yo, you fine as hell. Whoosh, you know? That's me, man. Like, you know, it's like, whoo! Damn! Look at yourself. Whoosh, I'm in the bushes. But we all have our preferences. I hear a lot of women like, I hear mad women like, I like chocolate, man. I like my man chocolate. Chocolate. I don't sit here and be like, seeing me, I've decided that you only like chocolate men. I just said that. Oh, you did. But it seemed to me that's all you like, and that's whack. Nah, man, you like what you like. When I hear women like, I like dark-skinned men, I don't sit here and get my feelings like, well, you don't like me. That's whack. You don't like me. There are women that prefer dark-skinned men that might still find me appealing. That happens all the time. It's not always an end-all, be-all. There are women that I prefer darker-skinned men, but it's something about Tony, though. And I'll be like, oh, you feeling this lighter shade of silliness over here? Oh. So I got you going against code? That's crazy. And then I jump in the bushes. But, you know, this happens all the time. Patron saints, man, right here, right now. Patron saints. What are your preferences in a mate? What do you prefer? What do you lean towards? What's your flavor? Visually, we talking visuals. We'll get into the energy and the personality and the mindset. No, we'll do that in another episode. Visually, what's the preference? I prefer my wife. Look at you, New York calm. I prefer my wife. That's a nice, wholesome, honorable answer. What's your wife look like? I love big noses and ears. Okay. Let's see. Chocolate with a beard, nice teeth and smile. Visuals, great hygiene. Taller, heavier side, nice teeth, nice hands. Chocolate with dreads. Don't hit him with the, I prefer my wife to, big butt and a smile. So basically poison. Kind eyes, nice hips. I like dad bods, big belly. I don't even think I have one. It's a lot of fine ones that get ugly as soon as they start talking. Damn. Strong back and nice arms. Taller than me, I'm 5'2", not skinny, love locks, but am definitely not opposed to bald. To be taller than me, I love them to have a complete set of teeth, nice eyebrows, and small birthmark on the face. That's very specific with the birthmark on the face. I just love black men, period. I prefer him to throw me. What the hell? No man hips. Tony is fine and funny. Watch out, man. Don't bring me into this. Watch out, Dreamy. Wait, hold on. I've dated almost every nationality. NYC got all the flavors. I'm attracted to intelligence. Somebody said teeth, at least 5'10". My preference leans towards more personality, wit, and compassionate. Christian Black. Any shade taller than me, I'm 5'5 or taller. Not asking for much here. I appreciate beautiful men too. Veronica, over 6 feet. Wesley Snipes, dark, nice teeth. Shakara says, tall, tattooed, and dangerous. Taller than me. I'm a sucker for long hair and sexy neck. She about, this is New York Com's wife. She about 5'5", brown skin, curly black hair, and dark brown eyes. Okay, New York Com. I like taller guys, light or dark, all your teeth, no dirty nails to start. 5'8", caramel skin with hazel eyes, long toned legs, natural hair, and minimal makeup. I'm describing my wife. Okay, Damon, I see you. QDB, taller than me, nice smile, bright eyes, full lips, broad shoulders. Miss Ree Renee, oh, I don't like the braids on men. Please don't have braids, okay? Autumn, man, look out, Autumn. CJ, warm smile and kind eyes. I do like nice hands and arms. David says, I prefer my wife too. She has pretty toes, thick fit down bottom, short nails, nice teeth, and has her natural hair. Okay. Autumn likes beautiful teeth. Face card just got to be accepted everywhere. Sorry for speaking my... Candy Cammy says, manly man, no pretty boys. You see, everybody had a preference. Everybody had something to contribute. Amir, you got a preference?
Yep. Black.
Simple as that. Simple as that.
That's the threshold.
Yeah.
If you're not black, then I'm not even looking.
Okay.
Not so even interested.
Black.
First.
Right. No concessions?
Nah. It could be mixed with black, but you gotta look black at least. Like, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But black is a threshold.
Yeah.
I lean more petite because I'm small. So petite women. Yeah. That's always been my thing, but I don't mind either way.
Yeah.
Natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
But not even like when we think natural hair, like I think people think of the stereotypes, like it gotta be curly or this way. Like, nah, it just need to be like not permed. Like that's okay. But the perm is cool, but
yeah,
it's 2024, man. Come on. Them chemicals is not doing, they're not well.
Right.
You know, and my mom had a perm growing up, so was watching her deal with all that. It's like,
chemicals tearing the hair up.
Man, and it's on your scalp, bro.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of hair when I was younger too. So I know, and they wanted to perm my hair to braid it easier. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, no.
The fact that perm can tear your scalp loose like that tells you everything you need to know that this should not be on your hair.
Yeah.
That's the most glaring sign that, yo, this stuff is not good or natural.
Yeah.
That I should be using this on my body.
I agree. I'm not knocking it though. So
I'm not saying.
Yeah, I'm not knocking anybody thinking like you're doing. The looks that I've seen with perms and stuff like that, like, you know, they're monumental, especially back in the day. That was a look, that was a thing.
Right.
I get it. But as I've grown older, I was like,
when you look at what it does, yeah, it's like, once I found out what it was,
I was like, dang.
See people scrambling for
the water.
I wouldn't
want you to hurt yourself like that. Like,
man.
That's what it is. But yeah, black, petite, that's really just the pick for me. Like, yeah. I really don't lean anywhere else. But the threshold for sure is like, if you're not black, I'm not even give you the time of day.
Damn. Firm. Ten toes.
Been like that. My mom was like, you can't share the cone or bring them home. Hey, I just grew up around that. So that's all I know.
So your parents instilled that in you.
For sure. But I grew up in majority, like, the school, elementary school for me was like 99% black anyway.
Yeah.
And I've always liked black girls.
Right.
Always found them attractive. I like people that, in a sense, look like me. I like the features that we have.
Right.
I don't have the blackest features, but I have black features. My hair, you know, my eyes, like those kind of things. Like, I like those things.
Right.
And I like the way we look. I like the way my family looks. I find black people attractive. So I'm going to go that way. Mm. And that's how I've always leaned. I've never been the type to be like, oh, I prefer, you know, I want a girl to look like this. Like, you know, the stereotypes, racially ambiguous or anything like that. And that's cool, but that ain't me. I'm never going to go against against what I like. I'm never going to put my people down to try to uplift somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Never, ever. That'd be crazy. If I'm doing that, then somebody got me. Then
we lost Amir, y'all.
That ain't me.
We got a clone in the midst. And that goes to show, like, you know, because I grew up in that same environment where my student body was 100% black. And like in elementary schools, different schools, even when I would transfer and go to a different part of Chicago, like I never had any white friends, no white students, no, I ain't had no Hispanic, Asian.
Yeah.
It was black. And so, you know, my entire come up was just black girls. So black girls was all I knew. So when you look at my, trajectory of the girls I was crushing on, it was an assortment. It was just,
yeah.
Katrina Wilson was the color of this mic stand. And then Erica Banks was light skinned. She was fine too. So it was just like, I was just like the spectrum of just, and they were all black. So it was just like, I'm getting, you getting several different shades. And that's black.
Yeah.
Several different shades.
It's a variety in black.
Exactly. Like within black, there's a variety of shades.
Yeah.
And so I was just, that's what I came up in. And so I was just like, all right.
And I never leaned a certain way on the skin color. I'm light skinned, but I've never been like, I can only like light skinned girls or anything like that. Like, that ain't never been
I've never uttered that.
Yeah, my mom is brown skinned, leaning dark skinned. My dad is light. I'm not the kind of person to do that. Never. That's honestly very strange to me anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
a lot of dudes had that mindset. Like,
I only like it like this. And it's rooted in colorism, a little self hate, a little racism here and there, but. You know, hopefully we get past that one day. But, you know, it's this one of them kind of devices. Like, I'm never going to pick that kind of thing. Like, if you're black, then that's the threat. Like, whatever. Right. We on the, if you black, come on over to the winning team, bro. But, you know, that's the dream.
And no disrespect. If you ladies in here, if you prefer chocolate men, don't disrespect. We're not saying that you doing colorism.
No, I get, and I get it. You know, I've seen the light skin jokes growing up. I got them. You know.
Light skins be getting clowned on the regular.
It's cool. I got, you know, the whole thing. I got nose ring and all that. Like, whatever. Yeah. I'm a small dude. Hey.
Tough. You on that light skin
shit.
You like
light skin. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Still took your girl, buddy.
We got to get off that, though, man. We got to get off the light skin bashing.
Yeah. I'm not like too mad on it, because I don't think it's like, you know, it's like, it's just jokes.
Right, you know, right. It's just jokes. It's in good fun.
The light skin ones don't. They're not nearly as harsh as like the dark skin jokes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if that's what it is, then I think we can deal.
Because at the root of it is a sense of like pride and gaining back that black pride that, you know, historically, you know, you were clowned for being darker, having darker features, but then we gained our identity back and pride. And so it was just like, no, we proud to be black, we proud to be dark skinned. And so it flipped.
Yeah.
It was like, we judging the light skins now because, you know, you thought you was better than us. You passing. White people treat you better. So it was rooted in that racism at the base of it.
It's kind of bad. Like, it's a reverse, like, attack back
because
of all of the stuff that somebody benefited from, which is not necessarily, you know, like they were in on it.
Right.
And it kind of is weird because it works in opposite ways for women. Like, women like dark-skinned men because they present masculine. Supposedly, right. Like, that's how the stereotype works. They present masculine, they're tough, they're this and that. Those are stereotypes that work for that. It's negative for women to be dark skinned because then now they appear tough or manly, like it's kind of flipped like that. And the light skin is more feminine, so it doesn't work.
So
it doesn't work in the man's favor. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing, just flipped in the way of like desirability,
right?
And that's one thing I noticed growing up. I was like, oh, I see how it, like,
yeah,
it could kind of work in a specific kind of way, just depending on like the person and what they consider to be desirable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's trash, and, you know, colorism
big trash,
stupid, but
big trash. And I still think we got a long way to go on the colorism within the black community. I feel like we got a long way to go, but you like what you like. You know what I'm saying? You like what you like. And we all like what we like. And I just so happen to be like, I got a broad spectrum of what I like. Don't just relegate me to the light-skinned, racially ambiguous. I like it all. And you could consider me greedy, man. Tony ain't got no time. I'll take it, man. Whatever.
But is that really true? I used to feel that way, too. Like, oh, you don't have a type. When I was younger,
I'm trying to figure out what my type is.
Yeah, it might not be as narrowed down. Like, I can't just say like two words, two things in general. Well, for me, it is black petite, but it's like, it still kind of branches off a little more than that.
Yeah.
I think when people say like a type, it'd be like, they look similar.
Yeah.
They'd be like, no, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like certain things about them may be similar, like they're smaller because I'm small. So that's right. what I'll lean towards. But I'm not finna, it's not gonna be like they all look alike. Like, no, that's what I think when people say type. But I get like having a, you should have like some kind of preference or some kind of type. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't, that makes me be like, you just take anything. Right. You just go for whatever. So it's kind of like, as I've gotten older, it's like, you know, having a type, it ain't bad, bro. Like, you got to know what you like.
Right.
And you stand on that. So.
Yeah. I just like good looking women.
I feel you.
I'll be like, oh, I like what's going on here. So if you look at my I don't want to say roster, but if you look at my history, you got tall in there, you got short, you got thicker, you got slim, you got petite, you got an assortment of sizes, heights, skin tones. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Kristen said, I love a dude that dresses well, like you in that suit, Tony. Watch out. Don't be bringing me into this. Don't bring me in this. We talking about stuff and people. I know I'm a person and stuff, but hush. But thank you, though. You know, I appreciate it. Anyway.
Anti-suit as well, man.
Yeah, man. I spent a lot of money for the suit life for that Cabo trip. I want everybody to hush.
Oh, you bought it? Like you own the suit?
Mm-hmm. I actually bought two suits. So I bought the one that I actually wore to the wedding, and I bought another one that I tried on. So, you know, and because I got to have suits.
Yeah.
On deck.
Yeah.
And I realized that because all I had at the house was a black suit that we got for the Ball Brothers promo.
Oh wow.
So Kev ended up grabbing that suit, and I just reimbursed him, like, thanks for getting me a suit. And so now I was like, all right, so now I got three suits. And I'll probably get like a couple more just so I can have an assortment and I can mix and match or whatever.
Yeah.
Just in case when I need a suit.
They're expensive. I see why people just be renting them because, man, what?
I'll be transparent. So everything came out to, that's both suits, the shoes, the hat, whatever. Everything came out to like $1,800 and some. Yeah, and that's for two suits, shoes, accessories, and all that. $1,800 something.
Yeah.
And so it's like, because, you know, everything is going to add up. You know, the vest is this, the pants are this, the suit jacket is this. So it's like, then multiply that by two. $1,800. So, and I know it could have got more expensive than that, but I set a cap when I filled out the application and stuff to get the wardrobe team in place. I put a cap on how much I was willing to spend, and so they stayed within those parameters. So, so I look at it like, you know, it was a good investment.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna write it off because it was part of, you know, content.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna tax write it off, but still, I was just like, all right.
Yeah. At least you got, no, you got two in your arsenal that fit. I'm sure you got tailored and all of that.
So yeah.
It's always good to have one or two that, like, you know, that's a go-to. You never know. That's how I was raised too. But, man, anytime we get out of church or whatever, man, my clothes in the car. I am not dealing with this. I'll be ready to get out of there. And it's hot.
It's hot, man. We was cooking in Cabo.
It's uncomfortable. It's stiff. It's just like, I get it, but get me out.
Yeah. We was cooking in Cabo, though. We was a sweaty mess, but
it's
we was looking great.
Humid down there too, right?
Huh?
It's humid too.
Yeah, because really, if you look at the temperature, it was only 70 something degrees.
But y'all, it's like tropical.
But we sweating.
Yeah.
You know, we was drenched. Robin was just, she looked like her dress here, given the color, it looked like she got shot in the movie, and this was the blood. It was ridiculous, man. So we was out there sweating. But it was a great time, though. We was loving every minute of it. But, yeah, that humidity was tearing our asses loose. Before I get out of here, let me do a recap of The Worst Roommate Ever, Episode 2. All right? This story was crazy. So I did a recap of the first episode, but this other episode, it had me like really like, wait a minute, what? So dig this, y'all. So there was an older, elderly woman. She lived out in, you watching it right now? Okay. So episode two of season two, A Housemaid from Hell. Did Scott kill Anita Cohen? So Anita was an elderly woman who lived out in the Palm Springs area, right? She was successful in her business, so she was making enough money to buy herself a house, a nice little three-bedroom joint. But, you know, she's older, so she's not really working as much as she was. So, you know, when you own a three-bedroom house, you know, those utilities and the upkeep was kind of like stacking up. And so she could have used some help on, you know, offsetting those costs. So she was opening her home up to roommates, right? So now, mind you, you know, she wasn't doing the background checks that she should have. Enter Daryl. Daryl was a recently divorced man. He had two cats. He was just looking for a place, a safe place, you know, a clean place. And so she was like, all right, I'll take him in. And, you know, on the surface, you know, he was cool, but he, you know, he was into like, you know, he had his little butterfly knife that he would do. And like, and her son, you know, she had a son that lived about 3 hours away. And she was just like, yo, mom. And his wife were telling her like, yo, you got to do these background checks. She's like, no, you know what I'm saying? He's a nice guy, whatever. And so so she let Daryl in. Daryl had the two cats. You know, he was cool, but they kind of, you know, they were cool. They just kind of kept their distance or whatever. And she just thought some of the things that he would do was a little strange, but he was cool. He was paying his rent. They just had a nice little flow, right? Now, and Daryl even helped Anita get rid of like raggedy roommates, because she would get like raggedy roommates and Daryl would kind of step in and be like, yo, y'all doing too much. You need to go. So he would have her back when need be. Right. And so enter Scott. Now, Scott, what's his last name? What's his punk ass last name? Anita Cohen. Let me get his last name, because the last name is crucial to me. Okay. Enter Scott. Scott Pettigrew. I knew his last name just made me like, Pettigrew, huh? Scott Pettigrew. All right. This was a guy that she kind of knew from like workspaces or whatever, a gay man, good-looking dude. And so they already had like a little connection, a little rapport. Now, mind you, in the past, you know, when they talked to Scott Pettigrew's like former roommate, lover and former roommate, he was on some wild shit. Like, you know, one roommate said he used to hurt her dogs when she was not home. But Scott, you know, Scott was just, you know, he was vibrant. He had the energy. And so Anita was just like, I like Scott, you know, basically, you know. But when you talk to Scott's ex-boyfriend or whatever, it was like, yo, he was wild. He was abusive. He was just on one. And like, he was trying to go to medical school or whatever. And he had anger issues, this, that, and the third, right? So Scott Pettigrew comes up in there and he's already planting the seeds of distrust against Daryl. He's blaming Daryl for shit he didn't do. He's like, yo, you need to watch Daryl. Just planting seeds and suspicions into Anita's head about Daryl. Like, she's already leaning towards, you know, Scott and, like, believing him. And, like, and, you know, Scott is just doing wild shit, blaming Daryl for stuff, throwing up in the tub, doodling in the tub repeatedly. Going up in Daryl's room without knocking, just going in there and flashing the flashlight on him and just doing weird shit. And Daryl's like, yo, what are you doing? And just being weird. Now, mind you, I'm looking at Daryl like, I guess I'm just cut from a different cloth. You're not going to be doing weird shit to me in the living space. We fighting. It's going to be some scuffling going on. Anita's furniture is going to be moving 100%. Like, I'm going to stand on business. I'm going to stand on confrontation. I'm going to be like, yo, man, don't be opening my door without knocking. First of all, I don't know why the door wasn't locked. I locked my bedroom door. That's first and foremost. Wasn't no lock on the door. Secondly, you're not going to be playing in my face. You're not going to be throwing up in the tub and laughing. You're not going to be doing this shit, this foul, nasty shit. You're not going to be blaming me for stuff. He lying on Daryl, and then when Anita's confronting Daryl, Scott is standing behind Anita laughing. That right there, I'm socking you out right over Anita. Now, I get it. Daryl's in a tough spot. He really needed a place to stay, and I get it. When you're up against odds where it's like, yo, I really need this place. I can't fuck this up. I understand you got to move differently. You got to act accordingly. You got to think about the bigger picture. And sometimes thinking about the bigger picture, that's hard to do. But when you playing like this, dog, when you blaming me for shit, when you being creepy, when you going in my room, nah, bro, we got to throw hands. We got to step outside. We got to step outside. So the tension is building within the house. These are real stories. This is true to life stories. I'm not making this up. It's on Netflix right now. So I'm just giving the recap of the show. These are real stories. So they're blaming Daryl for stuff. Anita's believing Scott over Daryl. And Daryl's like, this is wild. And so they end up changing the locks on Daryl, this, that, and the third. And so when he gets home, he calls the police like, yo, man, they locked me out of the crib. The police show up. He think they're going to help him. They arrest Daryl because Scott and Anita already lied on him saying he's doing weird shit. He's abusing an elderly woman, just falsely accusing this man of stuff he didn't do. And Anita went along with it. So now they got him. They arrested him. He's in jail. He can't afford the $150,000 bail. So now he's just stuck in jail, right? He was in there for a while. And so he's just like, bro. So now he's locked up. And so now it's just Scott and Anita at the crib. Now Anita's seeing a different side of Scott. Scott's verbally abusive. You know, she feel like she got to lock her door. She got to lock herself in her own home. She got to lock herself away from Scott. He's just doing the most. And it's just like, yo, now mind you, I'm just like, yo, where's her son at? In all of this, where's her son? Let me tell y'all something right here, right now. If my mom, she owns a 3-bedroom house. Let my mom get some roommates in there and they fucking around like this. There's no way in hell I'm not showing up. I'm going to show. And I get it. It's hard. She tried to get rid of Scott and the squatter's rights. And, you know, it's hard to just kick somebody out on the street. Like once somebody gets into your home and you're renting them a room, it's hard to get rid of them legally. It's all kind of loopholes. So you can't just kick them out. So I get that. So, all right. Okay. On the legal tip, we just can't go in here and just do whatever. Now, mind you, I'm fighting Scott on site. I'm fighting him. I'm squaring up with him. Now, granted, I might fuck it all up. I'm going to get arrested, but I'm going to pay my bail. That's money well spent. But then let's say Scott is like, oh, restraining order. All right, you're slippery. So if I can control my emotions to put hands on Scott Pettigrew, I'm going to tell my mom, look, go stay at my house. I'm going to stay in your house until I get Scott out of this house. Whatever that looks like, whatever we got to do legally, mom, you go stay at my house. I'm going to stay in your house and we're going to get rid of this man. And I'm going to just be like, all right, you could play your little games, but I'm right here standing firm and ready to sock you out as soon as you come up in this bedroom. That's my mother's bedroom. I will stay there so my mom ain't got to worry about this until he is gone. That's first and foremost. If I don't sock out Scott Pettigrew, I might sock him out. There's no way me or my brother Scott Baker is going to allow a man to come in my mother's house and do this to her. She had a restraining order against Scott and they lived together. There's no way my mom would even have to get to this depth before I roll up. Now, I know my traveling game is whack, but for this, I will gladly travel. I'm on the road. 3 hours away, easy work. I'm showing up, no luggage. I will buy clothes when I get there. I'm wearing revenge and not having it. That's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing the same shit every day. A tank top and sweats, ready for the smoke and the tussling. There's no way in hell I'm letting my mom go through this. So it turns out, she gets a restraining order against Scott Pettigrew. Mind you, rewind it a little bit. Daryl finally, Anita feels bad for lying on Daryl. So she tells the police, I lied on Daryl. They release him. He was in jail for a while. So he comes to get his stuff under police supervision. He comes to get his stuff. She's like, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? She's trying to, while he packing his stuff up, she over there helping him pack. Like, and he's just like, he's controlling his emotions. He has every right to just haul off and just cuss this woman out. But he's just like, all right, you just being cool, or whatever, getting his stuff. And the police are just like, it's in your best interest not to ever come back here without police supervision. He's like, oh, you ain't got to tell me twice. And it turns out, while he was locked up, Scott Pettigrew had his cats euthanized. While Daryl was locked up, Scott Pettigrew had that man's cats euthanized. Let me tell you something, man. If I'm locked up and you get Dapper at Midnight euthanized, I'm man on fire at that point. I wish you had more time. I'm John Creasy. Henceforth, you're done. You're done. I already been in jail. You know what? I will go back. I come out, you done killed my cats. Let me tell you something. I will gladly go back. So Daryl leaves. He grabs his stuff. He gone. So the stuff is getting so bad between Anita and Scott Pettigrew that she has to, you know, file a restraining order against this man in her home, and they live together. She tried to lock him out. He doing all kind of stuff. He getting back up in there, right? He finds out about the restraining order. They had this huge fight. She tried to call the cops. He grabs the phone from her. You can still hear the argument and the tussling on the phone. And so when the raggedy-ass son, talking about do a welfare check on my mom. So they get to the scene and they find her dead in the swimming pool. And they find Scott Pettigrew in his bedroom in there, sleep or whatever, butt naked or whatever. He's just like, well, no. You know, he tries to pin it on Daryl because, you know, Daryl, you know, we put him in jail. He had the beef. Luckily, and I can see why Daryl would be a suspect because he did have beef with these two. So Daryl is a juicy looking suspect. But it turns out Daryl was in the hospital at the time of the crime. He was in the hospital for something else, and he had the receipt to show that he was in the hospital during that time frame. And they was like, Scott Pettigrew. Scott Pettigrew killed that woman. And I'm just like, It's a sad situation, but I am so mad at her son. That's who I blame. I can't imagine what he's going through and what he's feeling. I'm sure that he's dealing with some kind of guilt and regret on that. He has to be. But there is no way in hell. There is no way in hell. And I get Anita, you know what I'm saying? We do wild things in order to not feel lonely, to get help, to connect with people. We make all kind of excuses for people. So I know Anita was just like, you know, and she was put in a tight spot. She was making dumb decisions. She was fouled for lying on that man Daryl, but she was just brainwashed and caught up in the. But There's no way in hell she deserved how she went out. But there's no way in hell I'm letting that ride for my mom. Absolutely not. I'm in the mix. I'm in the mix. I'm like, wait, they're doing what over there? Who? Who are you living with? I'm pulling up. I'm coming. I'm on my way out there right now. No, don't come out here. I'm already outside, Mom. I'm already outside. Open the door. Who is this? Scott? Scott? How you doing, dog? You good? All right. I'm going to be staying here for a while with my mom. I'm going to have her stay at my place. It's going to be me and you, Scott. It's going to be me and you, bro. Let's get to know each other. Hmm? What you into? What you like to do? Oh, yeah? I heard you like to play games as well. I heard you like lying on people and throwing up in the bathtub. I heard that's what you into. Yeah. That's what you like to do? That's crazy. Yeah. I like to do things too, man. I like to go to the shooting range with my Glock 19 that I always got on me. Yeah. I'm into that. Mm-hmm. I'm into that. When people come in my bedroom and don't knock, I like to shoot the bedroom door. Yeah. Cause I think people be breaking in. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like to put hands on people when they throw up in the bathtub. Man, I enjoy that. Yeah. We're gonna get along just fine. I'm into that. Scott. Pettigrew. I'm petty too, nigga. Tony Petty too, nigga. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. Anyway, man, we getting the hell up out of here. This is the longest verbal cardio ever, probably. Well, not ever. You know, when I had guests on. I got to bring the guests back. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Patron Saints, man. I appreciate y'all. Y'all are fantastic. Y'all are wonderful. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for pulling up, making the time. Sharing your time with me. I'm glad y'all enjoy it. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it hustling. What else do I need to tell y'all? I can't think of anything else. I think that's it. You know, we touched on everything, man. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe and all that good stuff. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.